Well, it's always a privilege to be here. I've watched many of you grow up, and I think of just how fast you grow. So, the title of this sermon today is what I want you to understand, and it's that His joy is our strength. Sometimes a wrong inflection can be the difference in how we interpret Scripture, and I fear that I may have interpreted this very familiar verse somewhat wrong. And it was from Nehemiah 8:10. And the verse reads, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And I was thinking, well, my strength comes from taking joy in the Lord, the joy of the Lord. But really, that's not what the verse says. The verse says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord," that His joy is our strength. You see, our focus must not be on our joy or our strength, because they will always be fleeting. Our focus must be on His joy. Well, when I started to think of that more, I said, well, what is it that makes God joyful? What truly does bring joy to the Lord? And the first thing is His relationship with Himself. That God, from the beginning of time, you know, until the end of time, will always be perfect, will always be complete, will always be joyful within each other. His love and joy and peace were present before the creation of angels, before the creation of anything, because God always was and always will be. So God's perfect in Himself, and He takes joy within Himself. Now, from a human perspective, we don't want to just take joy in ourselves. That would seem self-centered or narcissistic. But for God, it is perfect because He is perfect. And He wants us to take joy in Him, because that brings us the greatest joy. And some of these concepts are from God, you know, that you just have to think about God, and as you're focusing on Him, your joy will come from His strength. Well, another thing that brings me great joy, and it also brings God joy, is God's creation. God took joy in His creation. God, in Genesis 1:31, God saw all that He made, and it was very good. And when you look at God's creation, I mean, it does reflect the glory and the creativity and the majesty of our Savior. I mean, that recently on the internet, some of you may have seen the pictures of the snowflake, like the elaborate close-up pictures of the snowflake. I spent a long time on those snowflakes. You know, just, wow, how could that be? The five little prongs, all the different things coming out. You know, just in the most minute things of God's creation, it is absolutely perfect in so many ways. The picture earlier of Guilin, the pointy mountains, and I've not been to China yet, but someday that's where I hope to go. That's what I would like to see in China. But the other thing that God takes joy in is us. If you have come to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He delights in you. Look at the privilege that God gives us. If you want to turn to it in your Bibles, I'll be looking at a verse in Hebrews 4 and then turning back to Philemon. Hebrews 4:16. And in Hebrews 4:16, this is like an amazing verse that God gives us this gift. And it says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." God gives us the privilege to come before the throne of grace. In heaven, we will see God seated on His throne, and we will come before Him. But even now, we can come before the throne of grace. And what does God give us as we come? He gives us mercy. He gives us His mercy. Forgiveness of our sin. Forgiveness of our struggles. Forgiveness of different trials and tribulations that our minds and hearts can go through. God gives us His mercy. And then after He gives us His mercy, what do we find? We find grace. We find His grace to help us in our time of need. This is the God we serve. He takes joy in giving us His grace. The key thought for us is God's grace should produce our joy. That God gives us grace, and that produces joy from Him. If you turn back, if you're in your Bibles, turn back one book, and it's Philemon. This is a very short chapter, one chapter here. But I want to share this with you, and it kind of builds on this thought of God's grace and His peace and joy. And it's Paul's greeting to the church and to the church here. And this is Paul's always greeting. This is how we identify Paul's books, that if a book is written by Paul, we always see this greeting. And he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The first thing that Paul will always focus upon is God's grace. Well, people have defined it undeserved favor, but really, God's grace is our salvation. God's grace is the gospel. God's grace is what God came to do for humankind, to call us to Himself. It's the message of Christmas, Christ with us. It's the message of perfect God living upon earth, you know, showing us the example of a perfect life. It's the message of a cross, that God would come to die for the sin of the Lord, to the sin of the world. It's the message that the Lord rose from the dead. Sin and death could not hold Him. He found victory at the cross. And it's the gospel message. God's peace is shalom, peace between man and God. We can never lose God's grace. It is a gift from God. It is our salvation. If God has given you salvation, you will never lose it, because God knows all things. He gave it to you. You can never lose God's grace. But we can lose our peace and our joy. We lose peace if we take our focus off God and put it on us. If we start look to, am I following all the rules? Am I obeying? Am I doing this? Am I failing here? Am I not a good daughter or son? All the wrong focus. We must put our focus upon God, because when we put our focus on ourselves, well, we always fail. Okay, but God never fails. And God will give you the grace to not fail so often. And He will give you mercy when you do. So the reality of it is, where is your focus? Paul tells us how to keep our focus on God in verses 4 and 5. And he says, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints." How do we keep on our focus upon God? By being thankful. Thankful to whom? Thankful to God for what He has done. Thankfulness will protect you in so many areas of discouragement and so many areas. To be a thankful person will enable you to get through great hardship, great difficulty, and a thankful person is often a joyful person, because they have the ability to recognize the gifts that have been given to them from God. Well, what else do we do? We pray. Well, absolutely, God wants us to pray for ourselves, but He also wants us to pray for each other. This is an amazing gift that we can bring others before the throne of God. I was talking to my brother a little bit earlier, and he has a 5-year-old daughter. I said, oh, what a precious age, what a precious age, a little 5-year-old child, you know, that their responses. Well, my children are 26 and 22. Not fully precious, but very precious, okay? But it's not quite as precious of an age. But praise God, I can pray for them. I can pray for them in a very difficult world, in circumstances in this world, and the pressures that I'll never fully understand that your generation will go through are quite different from the pressures that I've faced. But I can bring them before the throne of God and say, Lord, I pray for their spouses, for their husbands, for their wives, neither married at this time. Pray that God would protect them. I've never met them, but I pray that God would protect them. I pray for their minds and their hearts, that their minds would be, you know, free from sin and the guilt. And I think of the mistakes that I've made throughout parenting them. I pray, Lord, help them, you know, to rise above that. So we can bring our children before the throne of God. We can bring our friends and family, even if they're not here, before the very throne of God. And then faith produces love. That as we have faith in God, God will give you love. Love for others, you know, love for Him, love for life, really. Faith produces love. But be careful. Faith does not produce sinlessness. You see, just because you come to faith doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect and live a sinless life. If that was true, God wouldn't have to give us mercy. We will need mercy from God. But faith does enable us to love. Sin pulls us away from peace and joy. It takes away our ability to love others. And eventually, sin will take away your ability even to love yourself. That this is why we need God's mercy. We need God's mercy. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my lack of trust. Forgive me for my lack of faith. Forgive me for my sin. You know, that we come before God and we receive His mercy. He gives us the faith we need to believe and to follow Him through the strength and grace that He provides as we come before Him. Well, verse 6 says, Paul is telling the church, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Why does Paul want them to share their faith? Why does God want us to share our faith? It is our testimony. It's what we believe. It's how we overcome. The book of Revelations, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross, and the power and the word of their testimony. Your testimony of how you came to faith, of how you believed in this living God, is very important. It's very important, first and foremost, to you. You see, God did that. For you, God's opened up your heart to believe in Him. It's something that you must cling to because we, in this human body, tend to forget, tend not to remember, tend to go in our own little ways, in our own little pockets, in our own little areas, and we forget the gift that God has given us. This is our testimony. It helps us to remember who we are in Christ, that all the good things that we've received come from God. It enables you to stand in a very troubled, broken, harsh world that we all live in. But I think young people, the world you face is much more complex than the world I ever faced growing up. Then, well, people might ask, respond, but I'm not an evangelist. You know, it's just not what I do. It's just not who I am. It's not my gift. Bad answer. Bad answer, okay? That, no, you might not have the gift of evangelism. You know, there are people that are naturally evangelistic. It's true. But you have a testimony. You have a touch, a light, an illumination from God. And that's what you share, what God has given you. You know, you don't have to know the whole Bible. You don't have to know every theological truth. What has God done for you? Be willing to share that. I think in some ways that, you know, obviously this is mostly a Chinese church. Chinese, you know, I mean, in many ways, the Chinese Americans have a great privilege here in the United States of America. And I think, you know, we're all told that God knows exactly why and where He's placed you at this time. You're in the United States of America at this time, and I believe God has placed you here strategically. And what the strategy that God is using is to call many Americans, unfaithful Americans, non-Christian Americans, back to Himself. You see, the American church, in many ways, is faltering, is dying. There mean not all, God's raised up a remnant in many different things, but if you go to the high school fellowships in East Brunswick and different things and you meet the Christian organizations, many of them are Asians, which is surprising, you know, to Americans. Well, Asians, well, why do you believe? You know, what do you believe? You have a more of an opportunity to share your faith because God has given you this in this place, in this time, to be able to share your faith. I always said that, you know, a great opportunity and that Chinese people have is to share with Jewish people. East Brunswick, many Jewish people. Okay, why would that be? And I've, again, over the years now, I've had the privilege to... born in the Bronx, a Jewish section of New York, okay? And I would go back with Grandpa and stuff over the years. Had the privilege, really, of getting to know many Jewish people. And I love them greatly. Great love for music, great love for education, great love for the arts, great love for Chinese food. But it's hard for Americans to witness to Jewish people. And the reason is the Jews have been persecuted more than any other group of people in the history of the world. And they've suffered under many, many, many different nations and people. And they are not very trusting of white people. Your name is Carl? Is that with a C or a K? In other words, are you German or are you, and it's not just the Germans. So they're not very trusting of us. But the Chinese have never persecuted the Jews, to our knowledge, that they don't have fear of the Chinese. Your cultures, interestingly enough, are very linked, very educationally oriented, very family oriented, the love for music, the love for education, the love for learning, you know, very... very ethnocentric, okay? That's true too. But it's a wonderful opportunity because they do not think that you should be Christians. Why do you believe this? Why do you believe this, Jesus? Well, first and foremost, Jewish people, I want to thank you that you protected the word of Yeshua in the Old Testament. I want to thank you, Jewish people, that you protected the birth of my Messiah, Jesus Christ, born of a Jewish woman. I want to thank you for what you've done. But yes, I believe in Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, and here's why. Whew, that's very powerful. That is very powerful. You guys have an opportunity. Paul wants you to be able to speak what God has given you, to share your faith. Verse 7, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Verse 7, our joy and encouragement comes from God as we love and refresh the hearts of others. That's a good thing to do. Encourage, strengthen, and comfort others. And that's a right thing to do. God will put that on your heart to do that. Why will God put that on your heart? Because that is what Jesus did during his earthly ministry. Our love and care for others brings joy to God as we follow the example of Jesus. That is where Paul found his joy, and that is where we too will find our joy as we reach out in love to those that God brings in your path. I'm going to close with a very familiar passage from the book of Philippians. And if you're following in your Bible, it's Philippians 4-7, and we read it on the screen. It's a very familiar passage, but people have balked at this passage, meaning, how can we do this? How can we do this passage? I mean, this is impossible. And it's true, in self it's impossible, but through God all things are possible. And it's Paul now talking to the church in Philippi, and he's going to tell them, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I actually like the ESV translation of 4 a little bit more here, and it's actually 5, where first and foremost Paul goes, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness, that the ESV translated, it's hard to translate. You guys who know Mandarin and Cantonese, you know things don't flow so readily from one language to another. It's hard to translate. And I think both translators are trying to be very, very following the Lord. But the ESV took the Greek word for this word and translated it, instead of gentleness, reasonableness. It makes sense to me because the next verses read, let your reasonableness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. So it makes sense to rejoice. To rejoice always. And it's pretty reasonable because God is near. God is here. God is with us. The Creator, the Maker of all things is near. And He wants to love you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to give you mercy. He wants you to be filled with His grace, you know, wherever you go, whatever you do. So it makes sense. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice, but not rejoice in our joy, but rejoice in God because He is near. Lord, I can rejoice because You are near, because You are here, because You are God Almighty. And it should bring us joy. It will bring us joy, but it's not so much our joy. It's God's joy to us. And that's sometimes a different way for me to think, too. You don't know me all that well, but I can be an anxious person. I can be anxious in a lot of different things. I can worry almost about anything. You want me to worry? I can worry about many, many things. You know what I mean? But Paul's telling us, hint, I know it's a sin, too. I shouldn't give in to that. You know, and I fight against that. That's something I have to fight against. But he goes on, says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Again, we have the privilege to come before God, and it brings Him joy when we ask, because our Father loves us. So when we are anxious, when we do give in to, you know, whatever struggles we have, we can come before God, and that brings God joy. Lord, help me. Help me, a sinner. Help me. Help my faith. Help me, Lord. I need you. I need to not be anxious about this. I need, Lord, to trust you more. And that's the privilege that we have, to come before God, to find his forgiveness for my anxiousness, because it's not trusting him as much as I should in his truth and love. And he does, and he's gracious. And then he wants us to ask, because he is our perfect Father. He wants us to ask, and that again brings us joy as we come before him and pray and petition with thanksgiving, presenting our requests to God. God wants your requests. Don't grow tired of asking God. You might grow tired of asking your parents because they say no, 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 or whatever, but not God. God's going to come. He's going to bless you. He's not just a blessing machine kind of thing, but he's going to hear you. He's going to listen. He's going to be by you. He will be with you, okay? So don't hesitate. Don't ever get weary of prayer. That's a gift from God. And then verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, I have to pray that God would guard my heart and mind from anxiety. That's something that I have to pray about very often. Lord, help me. I'm anxious about this. Anxiety instantly takes away my joy, because I'm worried about this, that, or all the what ifs that can come. And that's not what God wants for his children. God wants us to be a thankful people, a prayerful people, an asking people, a trusting people, relying upon his strength and his joy, and to hold on, to cling to the fact that it is his joy will be our strength. That God in himself is perfectly joyful. God in his, and I'm only giving you three, God is joyful in so many areas. But God in himself is joyful. God in his creation is joyful. God in us, he takes great joy in you. And sometimes that's hard for people to grasp. I think of, in school of, some kids over the years, that just felt fully unloved, just not loved, just not. And some of them could be Christian, some not, or whatever. And you say, don't you realize that you are a daughter, you are the son of the King, that there's a God who made you and loves you and cares for you, that you are not, you need not, be despondent, by the things of this world. You are loved by God himself. And many people in this world, in this town, do not know that. They need that message of hope and love and peace and joy. I'm going to ask you to pray for me. Okay, I'm going to ask you to pray for me. On January 7th, myself and Professor Pham from Rutgers, we will be flying over to Cambodia. We will be going, it's a 21-hour flight, 22, with not much layover. It's a long time on a plane. I don't like to sit for 15 minutes, okay? I have trouble with that. It's not, I don't like planes that much. But I would ask you to pray for us. It's January 7th to the 17th. It's a very fast trip. Professor Pham is Vietnamese. He has developed this school called Good Samaritans Vocational School for the very, very, very poor Vietnamese and Cambodian people in Phnom Penh, in the capital of Cambodia. And it's a vocational school, and the prayer and the hope is that if they can learn English, some, if they can learn computer skills, he's very good with that and brings computers, and if they can learn business skills, some minor business skills, that they would be able to get a job You know, most of them will not be able to go to college, and actually if they're Vietnamese, they cannot go to college because they're not citizens of that country. So the goal would be to be able to get a job in a hotel or a restaurant perhaps where they would need some English. And praise God that Professor Pham has gone, you know, many times. This will be my third time going with him. But some of the kids have gotten work, you know, that they have gotten. One young woman, she became a teacher in her village. You know, praise God, you know, that they were able to do that. And we will be visiting an orphanage there and three orphanages and bringing a gift from my home church of $1,000 to this orphanage. We'll be meeting with the university there and sharing some different things. And we'll be going to a small Vietnamese school. And then we'll be teaching for a week until the next team from Vietnam comes and will help them. So I would appreciate your prayers. I get a little anxious about the food and the water and the bugs and the different things there. But I'm trusting in God and just praying that God would watch over that. But I would also urge you to pray for your church. Pray for each other. You know the circumstances in this church. You know the needs. You know the people. And if you don't, get to know people more. Enter into their lives. God will bring people for you to enter into their lives. Certainly pray for yourself, but pray for them. Bring them before the throne of God. And you might not see direct answers instantly, but God hears you, and God knows, and God will hear your petitions and prayers with a thankful heart. So let me close in prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the times that you've brought us here now, many years really, and I thank you for each person and each family represented. And I pray your peace and grace and blessing upon them in this new year coming, Lord, and the new Chinese year coming as well. And we come before you with thankfulness, knowing what you've done and who you are. Lord, fill our heart with your joy, and let your joy, Lord, be our strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.